In today's gospel, we hear the powerful account of Peter's walking on water. What I'd like to focus on, however, is something that happens right at the beginning of this passage, something I think that's really helpful for us. And to help us to understand it, we actually have to look at what happens right before this gospel, which is what we heard last week in last week's gospel. So in last week's gospel, if we think back, Jesus had just found out about the death of his friend John the Baptist. And so Jesus responds to his grief by trying to go and pray. He gets in the boat, goes to the other side of the lake where he doesn't think there's going to be anybody. But the crowds see where he's going and they meet him there. So Jesus arrives to the other side of the lake. There's this huge crowd of people. And he looks at them with compassion, like they're sheep without a shepherd. And he ministers to them and feeds them. So that's what we heard in the gospel last week. But last week's gospel started with the interruption of Jesus's prayer. So at the beginning of today's gospel, we hear this. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And then he went up the mountain to pray. So he finally gets time to pray at the beginning of this gospel. And I think a couple of things are important about this. First of all, if we think back to last week's gospel, Jesus is filled with grief because of the death of his relative and friend John the Baptist. And what's his first impulse? It's to go and pray. It's to go to be alone in silence with his Father. So we can ask ourselves for a moment, what's our first impulse when we receive very bad news? Or what's our impulse when we experience a very strong emotion? It could be anger. What's my first impulse when I'm very angry or very sad? Or it could be something positive. What's my first impulse when I'm joyful or grateful? So I think it's just worth thinking about, like, how we respond to those strong emotions. In the gospel, we see that when Jesus is filled with emotion, which he was because he's fully human, so he experienced emotions like we experience emotions, except Jesus always responded to his emotions in a perfect way. And that's our goal, too, is to respond to our human emotion, which might be negative or positive, in the way that God wants us to. And Jesus shows us that the way to respond to our emotions is to go to God with it. And our first impulse might be something else. It might be to call up our best friend or our mother, which is a good thing. But first, we should go to God, even if it's in our heart, crying out, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. There's a college student who's a former student of mine, and I was talking to him about some very good news that he had received. He had gotten into pharmacy school, and he'd worked his tail off for years in order to get into pharmacy school. And he told me something so touching. He said, Father, when I got that letter, before I did anything, I walked over to the Newman Center, to the campus church, and I said a prayer of thanksgiving to God. And then I called my girlfriend, he said. But I was so touched that his first impulse was to go to God. So whether it's a positive emotion like joy or gratitude, or a negative emotion like anger, disappointment, sadness, God really wants to be the first one that we go to. He's the one who knows us the best. He's interior to us. He's already knows what we're thinking and feeling, and he's just so happy when we turn first to him, even before we turn to somebody else. So I think that's the first thing that we learn about ourselves and how God wants us to be by looking at Jesus. The other thing I think is really important is the fact that Jesus prays at all. You know, Jesus is God. Jesus doesn't need, as God, Jesus doesn't need anything. But yet, in Jesus' humanity, he needs to go to be alone in order to have communion with the Father. So when we look at Jesus, we see what we need too, because Jesus is perfectly human. So we being human, when we look at Jesus, we see what we need. And Jesus, every morning, we're told in the gospel, gets up early to go to be alone and pray. And if Jesus needs prayer, then how much more do we need prayer? It's really good for us to think about. It's also helpful for us to think about the different ways that Jesus prays in the gospel. So one of the ways that he prays is like we see him do today. He goes to be alone. And this is a daily thing for Jesus, early in the morning. And the gospel writers usually mention it before Jesus does something really important, like before he chooses his 12 disciples, the gospel writer tells us that he goes to be alone to pray. Or before he goes to the cross, what does he do? Well, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. So we see Jesus going off by himself each day to pray. We also see him do other forms of prayer, like his liturgical prayer. Jesus was a Jew, and he practiced his Jewish faith that he received from Mary and Joseph. And so we see Jesus going to the synagogue on the Sabbath. We see Jesus going to Jerusalem to the temple for their annual pilgrimages on the big feast days. It's really good for us to see this, that Jesus both does this personal prayer alone, but also he goes to the temple, also he goes to the synagogue. It's helpful for us to see that. There are some people who say, well, I can find God anywhere. Well, it's true, but if we want to know what we're supposed to do, we have to look at Jesus, and Jesus does both. And we have to do both too. We have to seek Jesus out liturgically through the sacraments, but also we have to have this personal time with the Lord as well. One other way that we see Jesus pray that I think is helpful for us is sometimes he prays out loud in his own words. John chapter 17 is like a very long prayer of Jesus to the Father, all in his own words. It's good for us to see Jesus praying like that because we know that the Father wants us to pray to him in our own words too. But Jesus also used memorized prayers like the Psalms he would pray. But he also taught his disciples the Our Father. There's that scene in the gospel where Jesus' disciples are with him and they say, Jesus, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus said, okay, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he taught them the Our Father. So we see these ways that Jesus prayed, and we have to imitate him by being faithful to our Catholic faith that's been passed on to us, that Jesus started, and by spending time alone with the Lord each day. Now that's a challenge. Sometimes that can be more of a challenge than going to Mass on Sunday, taking that daily time. But it's so important. If Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it? 15 minutes a day, I think, is so important for everybody. Now, sometimes when I'm saying this, I'm looking at a family with a bunch of kids and a baby, and they're looking at me as if I'm crazy. And I don't blame them. They're thinking, I don't have any time in my life. I don't have any silence in my life. And I agree with them. They don't. For someone who finds it very difficult, like a young family, I think we just have to ask the Lord what he wants. Okay, Lord, I know you want me to spend time with you in prayer. When and how? Lord, if you want me to have that time, you have to give me the time. We can't do anything by ourselves. We need God for everything. And so if we're struggling to make something happen that we think God wants to happen, we just have to ask him and be talking to him about it, asking him to give us the grace, the ability to see what he wants and the grace to do it. But in this church right now, there aren't a lot of families with very young children. And I think we probably have time in our life, even though we're very busy, maybe too busy. Think of how busy Jesus was. So many people to heal, so many people to teach. Yet he started out every day with prayer. This is what we see in the lives of the saints too. I was just thinking about Mary Jo Copeland at Sharing and Caring Hands in Minneapolis. I mean, talk about a worker spending her whole life for the homeless and the poor in Minneapolis and the Twin Cities. And she gets up like by 4 a.m. Why? So that she can spend at least an hour in prayer and have Mass every day. And it would be easy, I would think, for her to say, well, I don't have time for that. Look at how many people I need to help. Well, she knows that she isn't going to be able to help people unless God helps her first. And so it is for us, too. So it's just good for us to see Jesus taking the time to pray. And it's good for us to think about our own life and how we can make that time the most important thing for us. And if that's a scary thought, or we think, how in the world am I going to make that happen, or I'm too weak, all of that's okay. We just have to talk to the Lord about it. Ask him, how do you want me to do it? Where am I going to find the time? Show me, Lord. If you want me to take the time, give me the time. And see what happens. So today, we're here at Mass. This is the most important prayer that we have, the prayer of the church. So let's not hesitate to bring to the Lord here all of our needs and intentions, and especially to ask for the grace to be able to take daily time with him each day, and for him to help us to know when and where and how, and to give us the grace to do it.